With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Kind of like choosing Derek Jeter as the pinch hitter for your baseball team.
Jeter, you're in. We need a home run.
I'll give it a try. I've swung a bat once or twice.
That's out of here.
Yep, even easier than that. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One and a member FDIC.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 10th day of October 2023. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight we have... Well, we have Style at the controls. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And we have the legendary Pastor Joe back with us tonight.
I'm back. Yep, I'm here ready to go to work.
And, of course, you've got me, your humble host. And so, the title of the message was, Woe to the Spoiler of Jerusalem. Now, this is an interesting thing because... We did that Isaiah 33 last night, but that's the very first verse of Isaiah 33. And I started on that, Joe, on Friday before Hamas invaded Israel. And you talk about, being God's timely, timing. Huh? Yeah.
God's timing is perfect, right?
It is God's timing. And tonight we pick it up here in Ezekiel chapter 38. And so, would you read verses 1 through 4 and then stop?
Okay. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them, clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords.
Okay, so here when we look at the Son of Man, set thy face against Gog, now Gog was the leader of the Confederacy, and he was the chief prince of Meshach. Today, Meshach is called Moscow, and Tubal today is Tobolsk. They're both major cities in Russia, aren't they?
Ah, major cities, both of them. Would you say those names again? Because I don't think most people had time to grasp that.
Meshach today is Moscow, and Tubal today is Tobolsk. And and so here now, we're looking, and when you see the word there, I am against the old Gog, another word, a name for Gog there was Rus, and that later that was changed to the people of Russia. The people of Rush were called Russians. Russians. And so here, well, you know, the names of all of these places have changed over the years. Like today, Iran is actually Persia.
Right. Was formerly Persia.
And I'm having one of my senior moments tonight again. The Palestine was, senior moment.
Oh.
Not Nazareth. I'm trying to think. It was not Nazareth, but anyhow, it'll come to me.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. But it'll come to me. There was two names for where Palestine is today. But anyhow, then he goes on to say, "And I will turn thee back, and I will put hooks in thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army and horses." Do you remember Stanislav Soler, the Russian? He was the highest.
Right, he was ranking highest Russian officer to the effect.
Right, he at that time he was a full bird colonel, and I spent a week with him, and boy, I learned a lot from him. And he was telling me that he had been in. There's a city under Moscow that's larger than Moscow. They have an underground city that's larger than Moscow itself. And here, this is where all the top-ranking generals, you know, there in Russia, all have a place, all have an apartment, the thing's set up in case of nuclear war. They're all prepared to go underground. But he was telling me how, back then, that he would be sitting in with these generals, and they were actually talking about going to war with God. They're studying this Ezekiel, the Bible. They are studying the Word of God, and how that they were planning on, if they have to go to war against God, how they're going to win that war.
That sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? We're going to go against God who created the heavens and the earth, and we're going to figure out how to defeat him in a battle on one tiny planet out of God's entire universe. That sounds to me like insanity.
Well, you know,
or great confusion.
the most intelligent creation that God ever made was Lucifer himself, and that's what he decided to do, right?
Yeah, he was a little stronger probably than the Russian generals. At least he was a little more powerful.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about the intelligence part of it, thinking that
the intelligence part, yeah, he should have been.
You can go to war against God and win. I mean, God's never even lost.
Intelligence and common sense have nothing in common in a way then, right? You can have intelligence and no common sense.
Well, we see that a lot today. We really see that a lot today, especially in higher education, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Well, some of that education is programming, not really intelligence. It's programming.
Right. And so here now, we see that God is, you know, they believe that they're going to believe that they're going against Israel. On their own. They don't get it, that God's at the helm. He's in complete control of everything. And he said he's going to put hooks in them, and he's going to bring them towards Israel. Now, why would he do it? This time that he's going to do this thing is called what? The time of Jacob's trouble, or what? The tribulation. Okay, and so here, he says, "And I will turn thee back, and I will put hooks in thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and I will, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, and all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, and all of them handling swords." Well, you know, even though we know it wasn't that long, just a few years ago, that our Green Berets, Special Forces, were engaging the enemy, the Taliban, there in Afghanistan on horseback.
Yes, they were. They were dressed kind of like the nomads, and they even carried swords.
Yeah. And, of course, today, do you know who has the world's largest Mounted Cavalry? Russia.
No, Russia. I was going to guess. I'm not sure. It was a guess.
Yeah, they've got the world's largest. But now, come on, Pastor. You mean to tell me you think that this war is going to be fought with swords and spears and on horseback? No.
No.
Now, look, if you are Ezekiel and you're trying to explain what you see, God shows you a vision, and he shows you these things like you've never seen, like APCs, armored personnel carriers, like Sherman tanks, like Black Hawk helicopters. In fact, if you look in verse 9, it says, "Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm, and thou shalt be like a cloud."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now he's never seen these things, so he's trying to associate them with something he knows, right?
All sorts of armor protection. There were things protecting the people, you know, like great bucklers, great shields. To him, a shield that was moving makes a lot of sense.
Well, if you go on and he talks about in later times, Ezekiel sees this vision, and he sees these chariots aflame at night, and they're moving to and fro, moving very quickly up and down the highways. What do you think that he was looking at?
Oh, that was the modern equipment moving.
Right. I mean, in his day, they didn't have cars, right?
No, he had nothing to compare it to. You know,
so
like
if you
fast-moving armored vehicle, you'd have no idea how to describe it.
If you had never seen electric headlights on a car, electric lights on a car, if you had never seen that, and then all of a sudden you see these things, what do you compare it with? What you only
like
know?
A great lantern. All you can
right.
say is like a brightest lantern.
Right. And so here he goes on, and he talks about Persia. Today Persia is what? Iran.
Turkey. Iraq, I mean, yeah, Persia.
Iran, not Iraq, Iran, okay.
Persia, Iran.
Yeah, Ethiopia.
One of them's Turkey. Which one's Turkey?
Turkey today is still Turkey.
Okay.
Okay, and then you had Ethiopia and Libya, and Ethiopia and Libya is still Ethiopia and Libya today, and all of them that go with a shield and helmet. And then he goes on to say, and Gomer, well, here you go. Gomer today is what? Gomer's Germany today. Gomer is Germany.
Germany.
Okay. Yeah. And so.
Somewhere I'm confused. Wasn't part Turkey part of Persia?
No.
They didn't get that far. Okay. Hmm. Somewhere I got that confused.
And so. Here, when he's talking about Gomer and the house of Togomar, well, Gomer was the father of Togomar and of the North Quarters. And so here, he goes on to say, and all his bands with many people. Wow. So now here you have, when you have many people in this, you're talking about, the Bible mentions it mentions Persia, it mentions Gomer, it mentions the Edomites, the Ishmaelites, Ammon, it mentions, obviously, Russia. Well, you know what? If you go over to, what is it? I think it's Psalms 83, Psalm 83. And in Psalms 83, he's talking about when this takes place, the tribulation period. And he goes on and he mentions these are going to be the ones that also the great nations.
So the tabernacles of Edom, the Ishmaelites of Moab, the Hagarines, Jebel and Ammon and Amalek and the Philistines and the inhabitants of Tyre. Ezra is there too.
Sisera, yeah, so all of these are going to be coming in, and those today are what? Those are all Muslim countries today, aren't they?
Yeah,
and
Islamic
so,
nations. Yeah.
So he's going to virtually bring all of the nations of Israel are going to be gathered you know, not so basically you're going to have
enemies.
Right. And today, one by one, you're seeing a bunch of these nations becoming communist countries. And even when this happens, even though there's going to be conflicts prior to the start of the tribulation, that during that time in the tribulation, all of the nations of the earth are going to turn against Israel. So Israel is going to have no allies, but the only one she needs, and that's the good Lord, huh?
That's all she's going to need, because we know the end of the story. Israel wins. Well, God wins and saves Israel.
All right.
When God saves them.
So he goes on to say, be prepared and prepare for thyself and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited, in the later years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which had been always waste, but it be brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely in all of them. You know, it's an interesting thing that before, back in the 40s, prior to that, I think it was around 1920 when just a couple of the very first settlers tried to go back, but they didn't really resettle Israel. It didn't start until the 1940s. Up until then, it was a wasteland, wasn't it?
It was a wasteland. In fact, I can talk about it later, but we had a lot of Americans were there looking at the Holy Land and talking about how desolate inhabited Jerusalem was, a land of owls and animals and, you know, there were just no living people there.
Mark Twain had something to say. He went there, and he had quite a description of it, didn't he?
Oh, he had a fabulous, I was trying not to go into it, but he wrote some neat things. His observations of it were quite clear. It was extremely desolate.
And then he says in verse 9, thou shalt ascend and come like a storm, thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, and thou with all thy bands and many people with thee. We take that to mean that it's going to come by air, huh? And
that's what it sounds like, right? Right.
Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall come, things shall come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, and go up to them that are at rest, and dwell safely, all of them dwelling without the walls, and having neither bars nor gates. Well, we know who that's talking about there, don't we? He's talking about Israel.
Israel, yep.
And he goes on, why don't you pick it up and read all the way through 16?
16, okay. To take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, all of the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? As thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shall thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up out of against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before thine eyes, before their eyes.
Okay, so now, what is the purpose of the tribulation? It's got a twofold purpose.
The purification of Israel and the restoration of the
it's the judgment, the judgment of the nations. It's the judgment
of the nations. Yeah, the judgment of those nations. But it was a the tribulation is the purification of Israel, right?
Right, the wife of God.
Uh-huh. Right.
Now, we go back there, and it says here, to take a spoiler and take prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate. Well, we're going to read tomorrow out of, or this week, rather, out of Zechariah, because this is exactly what it says. Then it says in this, verse 13, Sheba and Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish. Sheba and Dedan were, they were two small Arab nations. They were not very large Arab nations, two small Arab nations, and that had actually at this time had done trade with Israel. They were trade partners and basically allied. And here's what it says, and Sheba and Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and Tarshish, there's a lot of different opinions on Tarshish here amongst the theologians. Some say that it was Spain, some say Spain, others say no, it's Portugal, and others yet say it's England. But anyhow, here he goes on to say, Sheba and Dan says, no, we're not going to participate. We don't want to be a part of the Confederacy. And Sheba and Dan, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions, therefore, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take prey, to carry away silver and gold, or to take away cattle and goods, and to take away a great spoil? In other words, they're saying, have you come to loot, rob and loot? Well, we're not going to be a part of that.
Yeah.
So then it goes on to say, therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou know it. Well, I'm going to stop right there because we're up against a break. But it's really how we pick this up and how this goes hand in hand with Zechariah 13 and 14, and really, as we pick it up from there. But right now, Joe, we, America, really, really needs a militia. We see what's happening right now in Israel today, and those that have attacked Israel, Hamas, Hezbollah, and others are saying that they're going to, if America aids Israel, that they're going to attack America. Joe Biden's been bringing them in by the thousands. He's been bringing them in, terrorists by the thousands. He's been helping China with chemical salt against our people here, which would be a chemical warfare, you know, with the stuff that he's been sending in from China, killing off, 200,000 Americans a year?
Right. Well, we've been telling people these people are coming, military age. They've been coming from all over the world. They've been coming from the Middle East, many of them coming from the Middle East, from China. All of our enemies have had a wonderful opportunity to send all kinds of soldiers or terrorists or spies or planners, whatever whatever they wanted. We've got million point six gotaways that we have no idea who they are, where they are, what they're doing. This has been the biggest breach of security probably that I can imagine.
Joe, all the way back
in the world,
all the way back in the 80s, we knew back then that the goal set by the New World Order to bring people in with 50 million. That was their goal. They've accomplished their goal. There are now 50 million illegal aliens in this country. And we know that there was a count of at least 45,000 Chinese nationals, which are soldiers, plainclothes soldiers, that Biden brought into this country. This guy, if him and his family don't get tried for treason, along with those that aid and abet, and that means all of those in the mainstream media, there is no justice in this country, I can tell you. And I wanted to say this very quickly, too, folks. The enemy within is the most dangerous, but listen to me. We've told you this before. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. You will know them. And listen, no place in the Beatitudes does it say, blessed are the stupid. when we told you this before, back in the election, those people that had a Biden sign in the yard, we told you mark them, because when it comes down to it, they will turn on you. They will turn you in. They will. If we're going into a police state, these people are your enemies, okay? They know who you are. They know by the signs you had in your yard. And today, if they have a vote yes on issue one sign in their yard in Ohio, these are the same people. These are the people that are involved with the human trafficking, with the fentanyl, with all of everything that's anti-God, anti-American. Mark them. I'm telling you, I'm mark those folks, because I'm not telling you to hate them or anything. I'm just telling you not to not trust them, because they are your enemy. We'll be back right after this.
Let's go to the border. Ben Berquam. The sole objective of the Republican Congress right now should be the securing of the border of the United States of America, and not happy talk, not passing H.R. number 55, H.R. number 100, securing the border, cutting off money, impeaching who you have to impeach, secure it. Ben, is our border still open and are invaders still rushing in, sir?
Yeah, you know, Steve, some people might feel like it's hyperbole when I say this, but it's not. And it's, I wish it were. I wish I didn't have to say this. Every time I come to the border, it's worse. Every single time. And you can see it behind me after this water truck goes by. This is a group. I'm down here. I'm back here in Lukeville, Arizona. There's 200 people that just came across, turned themselves in. There is a line that stretches for miles that is simply walking down. They pay the cartels. They come across. I can't take the camera down there because we have no signal down there. But we have video of it. I drove it. It's 10 miles long of just group after group after group, coming from Africa, coming from the Middle East, coming from India. Now we have reports that there are large numbers coming from Syria, coming from Central America, coming from everywhere, and there is nobody stopping them. Nobody's stopping them. We're inviting them in, Steve. You can see the bus over here. We got water. We got snacks. We got everything they need. We give them a valet tag for their bags so that we make sure that they get their property back when we hand them over to the NGOs. We are catering the invasion of our country right now. That's what's happening. And while this is happening, literally 5 minutes ago, I had my guy, Tyho Decker, who's down here with me. He was driving down a little side road. We saw Border Patrol take off down a side road. And they caught an illegal in full camouflage. They buy their gear in Sonoyta, right across the border from here. They buy all their camo gear. We've been over there and shown you that. And these guys that you see behind me are the distraction for the really bad guys, like this guy who's in cuffs right now. Thank God Border Patrol caught him. But there's 1,000 more that are running in the border because all of our Border Patrol resources are being used on processing fake asylum seekers that are being trained and coached by NGOs in America to undermine America from within. It's
the Hamas attack. The Hamas attack was a couple of thousand paramilitary forces. I want you to understand the scale of it. In September,
we have millions, Steve. We have millions.
250,000.
We have millions.
Millions, but just to put it in perspective, two in 1 month in September. This is after all this time in the midterm election. This is the Republicans. This is the Republicans being in charge for 9 months. This is McCarthy. Can we put up McCarthy's war plan?
McCarthy
can we put up
did
Churchill?
Nothing.
I'm gonna start calling him Kevin Churchill. We can put up Kevin Churchill's. Since Zelensky, that part's run out, he didn't get renewed for a third season. Okay, he got renewed. He got canceled. He got canceled halfway through the second season. We got Kevin Churchill now from Bakersfield, California, formerly hot dog stand operator, is now got a plan. He needs to come back and be Speaker of the House immediately because he has a plan. Number four priority is, the happy talk, they're going to give you the border. Oh, we're going to secure. We need to secure. Marco Rubio, they all throw that out first. We're going to secure the border before they get you in a 30-year ground war. It's Hamas was just a couple of thousand. Now, it was coordinated, and these are tough hombres, very tough hombres, and well-trained. We have the equivalent of 26 combat divisions in September alone of 2023. We have 6 to 8 million. Trump says 10 million. It could be. Who knows? Because they don't track them. You don't know in the gotaways. But just in 1 month, 26 combat divisions. We only had 150,000 troops total hit the beach on 6 June 1944, D-Day, in Normandy. We had a time and a half again, as many in 1 month. And you don't think there's some bad hombres in that crowd? You don't think there's some people that may not have the best interests of the United States of America? You don't think there's not some people in that crowd that are the same type of people that raped and murdered those girls at that kibbutz in southern, you know, at the rave? You don't think there's some there? Well, then you haven't been down to Lukeville, Arizona. You haven't been there. Ben, is there any? Not all the people. And about they're being invited up here. If you this audience, right. If I was there and I was living down in some of these hell holes, I'd be right. The first bus up. Hell, if they're going to invite me up and give me a phone and give me some money, why not? It's better than the deal I got here. Why not?
Yeah,
that's what they're doing. Unfortunately, that doesn't comport to our asylum laws. We have laws specifically says that can't be the reason, but they'll break those laws. Ben, are there bad hombres coming up here through the? Are there the same type of people that would some of those that would rape? We know this because you got the rapes and the murders going on right now. You go, the angel moms just got created out of nothing? Ben Berquam.
Yeah, no, they're using them. And you can see what this is. This is a great illustration for what happens down here. And you can see right behind me right now, mostly what you see are so-called family units. The problem is we're not doing the DNA testing. We don't know if the children that are with these adults are actually belong to the adults. Many of them are being trafficked. But what they do, the cartel will send these groups across first because they know that they have, as we were talking about yesterday, prioritization. They prioritize the so-called family units. So while this is happening and we've got all of these children here, Border Patrol puts all of their resources in this place right here so that the really, really bad guys that we caught, that I was out in Santa Teresa last week, and I'm watching these guys climb over the wall, and they're in full black attire so that they can sneak through at night with drug packs on their backpack and terrorists coming across. That all of this is a distraction so that more of those guys can come through. That's what's happening. Every single day, we invite not just cartel members, not just gang members, but terrorists to come through.
Well, no, Benzman's written the book about it. We're going to get Sam Faddis from the CIA on here to talk about it right now. Southern Arizona is going to be the new Gaza Strip. This is what we're doing.
That's it.
Of course, it's coming to a town near you.
The problem is we're importing it to everywhere. That's it, Steve. It's not staying here. Not keeping it in Gaza.
Yeah.
We're inviting it in. This would be like Jerusalem inviting Hamas into the city.
Yeah. This is now organized. Ben Berquam, you're there. Give me a minute or two. Ben's going to be back with me at 5. Ben, I appreciate you hanging out while I was going on my rants. Give me an update.
Yeah, let me just I'm going to step out of the camera here real quick, Steve, and just show you. There's been 4 vehicles that have left already. 1 bus, 3 transport vans. There's 13 Border Patrol vehicles here on site. 1 truck was actually just used to carry just the luggage of the illegals. Both of these tents that you can see are full. That tent behind in the distance is full as well. And what they do is they take the single adult males from West Sub-Saharan Africa and from the Middle East and from now we're hearing Syria as well. And they separate them out. They send the women and children first and then they deal with them. But this is happening every single day. And one of the things that we haven't talked about is the fact that we're in Arizona. I'm going to be with Carrie Lake later tonight. This would not be happening in Arizona if Carrie Lake hadn't had the election stolen from her by Katie Hobbs. This is a direct result of that election theft.
Alrighty, we are back. And I want to read to you from Wayne Root. Wayne Root says, if you think what just happened in Israel is terrible, here's what open borders and tens of thousands of Chinese military-age males are about to do to the U.S., USA. We are the Alamo. Now, that's funny because last week when I had McTurnan on, we were discussing this, and I said, because John was saying right not very close to his house, the drug cartels have set up a camp. They're building a city. They're building a little city not close, very close to his house. And you have 2 major drug gangs, and all of these illegal aliens have come in. And they had a town meeting because the citizens were very, very concerned. You had heavily armed drug cartels there. But anyhow, Wayne Root says this: what just happened in Israel is stunning, shocking, and sickening. I'm a Jewish American. My heart cries for the Jewish people of Israel. And as a Trump Republican Jew who believes in the right of self-defense and the death penalty for murder, I support whatever Israel does next to fight back. Anything goes. He said, I say no mercy. He goes on to say, this is my home. I will always stand with Israel, but this is my first priority, America first. America second, third, and America forever. The problem is what just happened in Israel is coming here. Soon the terror attack on Israel was a preliminary battle. The main event is coming to America. Anyone with a brain and common sense and gut instinct can see that and feel that and know that. Well, we can all thank Joe Biden and his boss, Barack Obama, for their open border strategy to intentionally, purposefully destroy America and replace American citizens with tens of millions of illegal aliens. Going all the way back to when Obama was in, we were telling you back then what he was doing. Every day, didn't we? Do you see what he's doing today?
Yep. It was almost a daily, weekly thing. I've got some figures to match that from Fox News, Adam Shaw, Bill Malugin, Griff Jenkins. Coming across the border, they've encountered 6,386 nationals from Afghanistan. There was about 3,153 from Egypt. They've got 659 from Iran, 538 from Syria, about 12,600 plus from Uzbekistan, 30,800 from Turkey. They've got them from Pakistan, Lebanon, Georgia, Jordan, Iraq, and Mauritania. But if you look at those other places, Lebanon is a terrorist stronghold. Iraq, you know, Turkey is not a U.S. friend, ally, really.
Yeah, Turkey just came out. Erdogan just came out and made a big statement that America is responsible for
right.
them attacking Israel. That's what he just said.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got all these, they call them special interest aliens. Now, you got to remember, I'm going to repeat this. We said it. There's been 1.5 to 1.6 million gotaways. So when you look at these, that they know where they're from. They've arrested 1,000 people plus that were on the terrorist watch list. And you've got these thousands of people from different countries in the Middle East. You add them all up, and you're talking maybe another pretty close to 100,000 people from the Middle East. Now, not all of those are probably terrorists, but what if even half of them are terrorists, spies, you know, people willing to commit suicide to blow up, you know, large events. This is terrifying. We've been trying to warn, you know, we've talked about it. I've got a story of a village, a kibbutz that was, well, I call them village, but a young Israeli woman, Inbar Lieberman, she's 25 years old, she was given credit for saving Nuran from the Hamas, and they're just a couple miles in from the northern border there of the Gaza Strip. And she led a group of residents that killed several dozen advancing terrorists. They're just 1 mile from the Gaza Strip, 1 mile. There was a kind of a warning came out, and she said she heard some sounds that she thought, this is not the normal rocket attack, and she rushed to their armory, opened the armory, handed out guns and weapons, ammunition to her 12-member security team. She placed them in strategic positions across the settlement, set up ambushes, and there were hundreds of people stormed her village. She killed five herself. Others killed over 20 that they know of, and many were taken away wounded. And she and her husband are part of this standby unit. And she was given an alert, but instead of waiting for orders, she made a decision to take action. And it's being told all over Israel she's going to receive the Israel Prize, kind of like our Medal of Honor. And there was one other kibbutz, Ein Absor, near the Gaza Strip, and a handful of local defenders staved off a large number of terrorists there. and that was reported in the Times of Israel. That tells me America is going to need its militias. You can see how a local militia, 12 armed citizens, saved this kibbutz. Sure, it's a small town, but they stopped hundreds of attackers, killed a bunch of them until they decided it wasn't worth it. You know, they weren't going to take this little village. 12 people stood their ground. We need militias back in the United States of America, don't we, Pastor?
Well, Joe, you know, this is exactly what we're working on here as we're building a militia through Tactical Civics. In fact, we have another meeting coming up. In fact, you can go up on the Internet to tacticalcivics.com. Tacticalcivics.com, folks. You need to do this. And what that does, we start by building the militia. And now the Constitution demands that we have a militia. And it says it's necessary that we have that militia. So we're going to go back to the way it was in the Constitution. America was never really supposed to have a standing army. That was changed during the Civil War, in fact. So we're going to go back. And in fact, Joe, there's about 3,600 counties in America, and we have now tactical civics groups in 900 of those. So about 1/4 of all the counties, we've got our groups in already. And so what happens is virtually when you get enough people signed up, you need actually like 1% of our county. To start the militia, then at that point you convene a grand jury. You convene a grand jury. That means the law is in the hands of the citizens, Joe. The law is
right.
In the hands.
Not in the hands of government.
Right. And in fact, all of the other courts in the county come under the jurisdiction of the grand jury. And so, anyhow, that's what we're doing. And there's going to be another meeting there this week in Chardon off of Route 44 at about 7 o'clock. It's Sage's Apple Farm. And that's going to be this coming Friday at 7 o'clock on Route 44. And I think it's very close to the Sheriff's Department and the Geauga County Hospital out there. But anyhow...
Go get involved. If you've got something wonderful, some leaders that are starting things like that. I wanted to, I've been thinking about this all day. There are two big stories tonight that come to a couple words. One, most of what we're talking about happening, everything was based on lies in the Middle East, basic lies. And the second is we assume the enemy is going to be like ourselves in the sense of have the same needs, wants, motivations. They want family, children, you know. Those two things have deceived America. And earlier you mentioned Mark Twain. I want to just read a sentence or two. He wrote a book, Innocents Abroad. He was there in 1867 in Palestine, and he talked about the Jezreel Valley no more. There is not a solitary village throughout its whole extent, not for 30 miles in either direction. There were maybe two clusters of Bedouin tents, not a single permanent habitation. One may ride miles for all day and not see human beings. For dreary solitude, Twain recommended Galilee. These unpeopled deserts, these rusty mounds of barrenness that never, never, never do shake the glare from their harsh outlines. He's talking desolation here is not even imagination can grace with the pomp of life and action. We reached Mount Tabor. We never saw a human being. So he, on and on and on. There are two or three pages like this. He's talking about there was hardly a tree or shrub anywhere, even the olive and the cactus. The friends of the worthless soil had deserted the country. Renowned Jerusalem has lost its ancient grandeur as nothing but a pauper village inhabited by owls and creatures. So the entire Middle East, the Palestinians claim this land was theirs. Remember Arafat running around? We had a thriving land there, Palestine. You know, the Jews came in and drove us out. We had cities and all this stuff. No, there was nobody there. Mark Twain was just one of about, 8 or 9 people I could quote that were there and visited and gave the same testimony. There was nothing there. It was a desolate, Palestine was a desolate, uninhabited, ruined place. So the entire thing about the Palestinian people being, you know, driven out of their land, the Jews taking over, lies. And the other is a story that I found. The Israel, what happened, Israelis were duped. And it was Yahoo.com is where I found the story, how Israel was duped as Hamas planned this assault. And Hamas kept kind of giving the impression they really didn't want to fight. And the Israelis were caught off guard. They'd had some programs where they were sending people out to work. And the people seemed to like this, and the Palestinians were doing this work. They were given the thousands and thousands of permits so the Gazians could work in Israel or the West Bank, where they could work in construction, agriculture, service, 10 times the level of pay. And we thought these people were there coming to work, bringing money, would create calm in Gaza. The Israeli army, the Israeli army spokesman said, we were wrong. We were duped. They looked like they were starting to care about their families, making more money, improving their lives, improving their lot. They, quote, by security forces in Israel, they caused us to think they wanted money. They wanted what we wanted for our families. No, what they want, and I'm looking at the charter, the Palestinian charter, and when the Palestinians signed their charter, the PLO, at the end of it, as they signed off, we will never cease till every last Jew is driven into the sea. Every last Jew is driven into the sea. And they start off with Article 1. Palestine is the homeland of the Palestinian Arab people, integral part of the great homeland. Now, we already proved there was nobody there. It was a vacant, vacant land. And then they had the Grand Mufti of Palestine. This is in 1942. He was contacting the Germans, at that time Socialist Germany, remember 1942, and they were planning with the Socialists for the destruction of the Jewish national home in Palestine.
He did more than plan. He led a complete brigade of Muslims, and they fought with Nazi uniforms.
Exactly. So here we have these people from clear back as far as, you know, we have proof that they wanted the total destruction of Israel. They wanted every Jew driven into the sea, killed, and there's more of it in their, PLO charter. Basically, you read between the lines, Israel is a threat to peace in the entire world, and the liberation of Palestine will liquidate the Zionists, an imperious presence, and bring about peace in the Middle East.
Let me ask you a question, Joe. Let me ask you.
Of the Jews.
Let me ask you a question now. Do you know how many Jews currently live in Israel?
Remember seeing the figure. That
it's 7 million. It's 7 million, Joe.
I was going to say that was 6.5 million, but yeah.
Do you know how many live in the United States?
Probably more than that.
7 million, Joe, or 17 million. No. 17 million.
Million. 17 million. Wow.
Right. So now let me ask you this. You see, what did the Palestinians, what did Hamas just come out and say that in Hezbollah that we will come if you aid America, we will come to America, and we will attack America just like we attacked Israel. They've been spouting it out.
Right. So why? Because the Jews are there more Jews in America than in Israel.
Yeah, but the difference
they
is
hate the Jews. They want them all dead.
Now, let me ask you this. What is the difference between the Democratic Party and the Communist Party? Is there a difference?
Not a dime's bit of difference.
That's right. And now, the Democratic Party, which had a lot of liberal Jews in it, I mean, that's what BLM's basically made up of, these young, rich
liberal Jews. They were also Antifa. A lot of the rich white boys that make up Antifa are Jewish.
So the liberal
Jewish
Democratic Party now has turned. They are supporting Hamas by 48% to something like they have completely turned. And now the majority of the Democrats in this country support Hamas.
Look at the colleges that came out. Yale, Harvard, all these big liberal colleges. They are supporting the Hamas, and they're against Israel fighting back.
Burn, Load, and Murder just came out. All of your fake news media, CNN, just came out and they said that what happened in Israel is not really the problem. It's what's going to happen when Israel defends herself.
Right. Then there's going to be an outcry because people are going to forget. I've got a list of things that probably will bother people, but they came into one kibbutz, the Hamas. There was an old woman in a wheelchair, and she was too old to take prisoners. So what'd they do? They poured gasoline on her, lit her on fire, and sat around laughing and cheering while she burned to death.
Yeah, well, that's what...
These are not people. They're worse than animals because animals kill, but not like that.
Wait a minute.
Cruelty.
We hear that they've cut the heads off of 50 babies. Well, Joe, what's so bad about that? How many heads of babies here in the United States do they cut off every day?
Yeah, they chop them up in the womb with...
We call it abortion. Who does that? Who does that, Joe? Liberals. They're called Democrats. The Democrats.
Democrats, liberals, yep.
Yeah, Democrats kill babies? Democrats...
Well, one's in the crib, you cut off its head. What's the difference between killing a baby in a crib or killing a baby in a womb a week before it's due to be born?
That's what vote yes on issue one is all about. This is what we've been trying to get across, warn the people. That's exactly what vote yes on issue one is. It's about increasing, put no limitations on killing children before or after they're born. It is absolutely... This issue one is right from the pit of hell itself.
Of hell, yep.
And we're trying to get that message out to the people. They are running absolute illegitimate, totally false ads on television. These people are evil. They are evil to the core. There's not one of them out there that would have the guts to come on this radio program and sit across from me. Not one. Because you know why, Joe? They're wicked, they're evil, evil to the core. And these people say, now, Pastor Uni, you shouldn't say those things. Well, here's why I'm saying it, dummy. It's true. They kill children. They're for sodomy. They're for bestiality. They're for pedophilia. If God's word, the Bible, calls it an abominable sin, they embrace it. This is what we're trying to get across to the people out there.
Right.
This is
years
why
ago we talked about Peter Singer, that professor. They call him I can't think of the word.
He was the ethics, the
ethicist.
Yeah. Okay. But we're out of time. Hang tight. We'll be back right after this. So when we come, we're right up against it, Joe. They called him an ethicist. Unbelievable. Be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Si eras de los que tenían todos los álbumes familiares en la sala, o de los que guardaban toda la música en CDs, eras un genio y no lo sabías.
Con Lenovo lleva tu ingenio a otro nivel, porque con nuestra familia de computadores IdeaPad, todos tus archivos multimedia tienen el rendimiento y potencia que necesitas. Encuéntranos en los principales almacenes de cadena del país.